This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Up now, a correspondent debrief with NPR's Mike Schuster. He's just back in this country after a reporting trip to Iran and Saudi Arabia. Both are closed and conservative Islamic societies. Both play important roles in the war on terrorism and America's Middle East policy and energy and nuclear policies. A correspondent debrief, an occasional day-to-day feature, is a chance to hear from a reporter not necessarily about a news lead, but rather about general impressions of a place. Mike Schuster's reported from much of the world for NPR. He knows a lot about the region that involves this latest assignment to Iran and Saudi Arabia. We spoke earlier. Mike, let's start with Saudi Arabia. Most of the 9/11 hijackers came from there. It's renowned for being closed to Western reporters, difficult to get into. How did you find it when you went?
Well, it was difficult to get into. I was only given a visa for a week. It took more than a month to get the visa. But the truth is that when I got there, I went to the Ministry of Information. They said hello. They said welcome. They didn't give me a minder. They didn't put any restrictions on what I could do. And I found that it was quite easy to work, contact people, and do the kind of interviewing and moving around in Riyadh that you would do in any capital.
Is nobody following you and saying, we're going to sit in on this interview?
No, nothing like that at all. I think the only worry that I had was the presence of Al-Qaeda, and we know that Al-Qaeda is in Saudi Arabia, and I must say that I was more worried about security in Saudi Arabia than I was in Iran.
Being targeted.
That's right.
We know it's hard for Westerners to see into Saudi Arabia. How easy is it for Saudis to understand how the rest of the world looks at them, indeed how the rest of the world sees the rest of the world?
I think it's quite easy, Alex, and in fact I think they have a very acute sense of how the rest of the world sees them, and in particular how the United States sees them. And this is because even though there is not complete freedom of the press in Saudi Arabia, that a lot of people have satellite television, it is not strictly legal to have them, but the government doesn't take action against them as it does periodically in Iran. And so they see everything. They see Al Jazeera, they see CNN, BBC World. They also have access to the internet. And although the Saudi government, I think, as best as I can tell, has a lot of filters, especially to filter out pornography from Saudi Arabia, still, people have access to email and access to websites, and they have a strong sense, especially about what is said about Saudi Arabia in the United States.
Do they feel, do the people that you talk to there, feel that Saudi Arabia is, in fact, becoming or could become a more democratic country? This is what people keep talking about. There are various trends that suggest maybe Saudi Arabia would reform, become democratic.
Reform is one thing, democracy is another. And I found that even in the more liberal people that I spoke to, and they spoke openly with me and spoke to tape so that I could use it on the air, were reluctant to talk about democracy. But they were not reluctant to talk about reform. And one gets the impression that there is a significant, although slow and very carefully monitored, reform process that is talking about the creation of municipal councils around the country next fall sometime, where there may be elections for that, where women may be given the vote for that. And at the same time, they're talking more about the problems in their society. There's something called the National Dialogue that started last year. In December, it took place in Mecca. 60 people, handpicked, it seems, by the royal family, but still talking openly about extremism in their society. And soon, within weeks, there will be another meeting of this National Dialogue to talk about the role of women.
Mike, you also in the last month have been in this other very important regional country, Iran. Tell us, what is the difference when you walk around Tehran and you see how people are living there and how they feel about themselves and their government compared to Riyadh in Saudi Arabia?
Well, when you live in the United States and hear about these societies, particularly about Iran and the other so-called members of the Axis of Evil, especially because U.S. trade sanctions have been imposed on Iran for so many years, you maybe imagine that things are dull there.
It seems very dark.
Yes, it's that they would be dark, that maybe their economy doesn't work well, but it's quite the opposite. Tehran is a bustling, filled with life city. Every sort of commercial activity you can imagine, and lots of people on the street and lots of women on the street. Women in headscarves, but not veiled, obviously holding down a lot of jobs in the economy, whereas in Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, you don't have that feeling at all. There are not women on the street, and if there are a few, they tend to be foreign workers and not Saudi women. All Saudi women are veiled and are in black when they are in public, and you do not get the same feeling of vibrancy in terms of a street life in Saudi Arabia that you do in Iran.
Do you walk around openly as a journalist in both places? You mentioned concerns about security.
Certainly in Tehran I did. I had no compunctions and no worries about going anywhere and talking to people in the street.
And did they talk back? I mean, they felt free to talk to an American journalist?
Very much so. In fact, the first day that I was there was this controversial parliamentary election on February 20th, and I went to several polling places and people sought me out. One couple, a young couple, even followed me up the street from a mosque where I had been interviewing people just to tell me what they wanted to tell me. A very, very much of a pro-American feeling as well in Iran. Whereas in Saudi Arabia, not so much. People are much more cautious, much more reluctant to speak openly. You got the feeling that they thought that the government and the royal family might be listening, in a sense. And the mood in Saudi Arabia among the public is much more anti-American.
Just looking at the population, you mentioned this young couple followed you up from the mosque. Aren't large segments of the population there young?
Very young in both Iran and Saudi Arabia, and demographically, it's a key issue for the process of reform in both countries. Over and over again, I was told in Iran that even though conservatives now have control of almost all the levers of government, they will not be able to impose their entire agenda, particularly in the social area, because young people don't want it, and there are too many young people in Iran, and they need their votes in the future and their support, and so they will have to listen to them. Similarly, in Saudi Arabia, there is a huge bulge of people in their teens and 20s. The problem in Saudi Arabia is unemployment, that they go through a government-sponsored and government-supported educational process with lots of young men and women going through the universities, but there's nothing for them to do, because the economy in Saudi Arabia is not diversified far enough away from the oil industry. And this, it is said, and analysts believe, leaves a very large bulge of young people unhappy with life in Saudi Arabia and perhaps more open to the preachings of conservative clerics that might suggest that Al-Qaeda or terrorism or anti-Western ideas are the route that they should go.
So two societies in this region, both quite young societies, but it sounds as though their reaction to civic life and world events is quite different.
Quite different, and in fact, maybe counterintuitively, the prospects for political change in Iran and the pressure that's coming from young people in Iran may have more impact than they will on the political process that's taking place in Saudi Arabia, although both governments are showing that despite their conservatism, different kinds of conservatism, but conservatism nevertheless, they have to respond to the pressure from below.
NPR's Mike Schuster. Thank you very much, Mike.
You're welcome, Alex.